Jesus' last words could be our last words. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday. TGIF, thank God, is Friday. You know, every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I really want to talk about that a lot today because the scripture passage that I'm going to share with you today is based on what happened on the Good Friday, that day that Jesus died on the cross for us, to be raised from the dead a few days later, ensuring our salvation. If we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and show that we accept Him as our Lord and Savior by living, imitating Him, acting like Him, talking like Him, forgiving like Him, serving like Him, okay? So I'm going to keep coming back to this, the powerful meaning of Friday, Good Friday, and how every Friday can be a Good Friday. But now let me share with you the scripture passage. Actually, I'm going to share with you Luke's version of these final moments in Jesus' life. Yesterday, I shared with you Matthew's version of it. Luke's version can be found in chapter 23, verses 44 to 46. He writes, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he had said this, he breathed his last." End of the scripture passage, okay? I said at the beginning of the program, Jesus' last words could be our last words. I say could be because it's our call, it's our choice. It's a matter of what we decide to do and say as we lead up to our final moments on earth. What would it take for Jesus' last words to be our last words? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Trust. Do you trust God? Do you trust that God has your best intentions at heart? Do you trust that God will never give you more than you can carry or handle? Do you trust that God will never lead you to a place where His grace will not sustain you? These days, more and more people are finding it hard to trust in God. I think the news media is taking people's trust away, or at least they're allowing it to take their trust away. You know, depending on the kind of TV programs you watch, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can get bad news. Bad news. About things that happen in parts of the world you couldn't find on a map. Things happening in countries you couldn't even spell the name of that country. And it just keeps chipping it away at our trust in God. You know, when all these bad things happen, it's only human to ask the question. Yesterday, Matthew's version had the question, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's a question that could be on many people's lips at different times in their life. And yet we know how Jesus ends before he breathes his last. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Because he knew that His Father's will was accomplished by His death and His eventual resurrection. And through His death and resurrection, the world was saved. And He was willing to go through an incredible amount of pain so that the world could be saved. And in His human nature, and I talked about His human nature yesterday, in his human nature, he suffered tremendously. But he never said no. He never regretted dying for us. He never walked away from the cross. He never gave up his mission in life. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to, in a series of steps, in a series of decisions, do very similar thing as Jesus. We have to decide to trust Jesus. I regularly say in my preaching, you are what you think about all day long. So you begin training yourself. The word discipline comes from the same word as disciple. You begin training yourself to where it's almost second nature, where you say, I trust God. Even when I can't understand how this is going to turn out, even while I have some real concerns it's not going to turn out the way I want, I trust God. God writes straight with crooked lines. God makes sense out of the nonsense. God takes the illogical and makes it theological. We give ourselves these pep talks. And the more we give ourselves these pep talks, then we have a good Friday and a good Thursday and a good Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay? The goodness is that not we're going to pull it off by ourselves, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Another pep talk you have to give yourself. With God all things are possible. Okay, so we begin by a series of acts of faith that we make. When I preach parish missions, before I preach, before even the opening song, I get the people to start reflecting on the difference of being in the tangible world where they've been all day long. Now they're in the intangible world where God is not going to speak through their senses, but speak to their heart. And then I ask the people, acknowledging that these are challenging times to people of faith, I ask them to make three acts of faith, okay? Number one, I say to them, to the best of your ability, make an act of faith that you believe there is a God. You personally believe there is a God. Do that quietly in your heart. And then number two, I say, to the best of your ability, make an act of faith that you believe that God is involved in your life on a day-to-day basis. And that's the key phrase here, on a day-to-day basis. God's aware of our breathing. God is a part of our lives on a day-to-day basis. And number three, I say, to the best of your ability, make an act of faith that you believe that God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And then I say, if you're able to make that third act of faith that God answers prayers right now without any hesitation, any feelings of unworthiness, any shyness, ask for that one special blessing you would like to receive from God. And see, as we do that, our faith in God grows. You know? It's like Jesus telling the parable about the mustard seed and how that grows into such a strong bush, strong, healthy bush that the birds of the sky can land in and nest in it. You know, faith is that seed that grows in us. It grows in us by making continual acts of faith. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. That's one I use often. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. And so that builds us. And you know, and it goes through our teen years, in the early years of our life. And then as we turn middle age, and then as we start moving into our senior years, and then as we're approaching our death, whether we have a lot of signs about our approaching our death or if it comes very, very quickly. But see, we've been training ourselves for this moment in which we have to make a decision to believe that our death is not the end of life, it's just the end of the dying process. It will soon be the beginning of eternal life. And no matter how many crosses we've carried in our life, no matter how many times we've been punched so hard in the stomach we can hardly catch our breath because of life, no matter how many disappointments we may have had, how many setbacks, we say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in doing that, we get blessed, tremendously blessed. And I want to suggest that sometimes if there's a person in your life, a family member that is just causing you so much heartache, then maybe you want to use your imagination. You picture God the Father sitting on a throne, and you walk up and you're carrying this person, you put them in the Father's hands, and say, Father, take care of this person. And as you walk away, imagine yourself turning around one more time and looking at the Father, and He's caressing this person, He's holding this person. Because we got to also commend the Father, the people that we have no power over. There's no way we can change them. You know, you can't change people. We pray for them, we can inspire them, we can try to live a good life, we can sacrifice for them, but we have to hand them over to God. That's a wonderful imaging if you can learn to do that. If it's a spouse, a kid, a parent, a brother, a sister, somebody that in some ways have just, well, broken your heart maybe, caused you great hurt and pain, doesn't seem like they're coming to their senses, they're really caught up in some type of destructive behavior, you just picture God the Father sitting on the throne and you carry this person up and you put him in the Father's hands and you let him rest there. You don't take him back, you let him rest there and you walk out of the throne room of God and look back one more time and there's the Father holding them and working on them and caressing them and big smile on his face. That may be a major comfort for you. So whether you're doing it with another person, but more importantly, when you do it in your own lives, often will you commend your day, your life, your job, your family, your health to God, great blessings come. And then you can be ready for whenever the Lord calls you home. Our prayer partners are paramedics. These are the people who are right there on the front line, being called out to all kinds of situations, accidents, nursing homes, apartments, a car, whatever. Tragedies and trying to do their best to stabilize people's health, to minister to them. Pray for the safety and the strength that paramedics need. Today's food for thought comes from the famous Yogi Berra. He writes, "You can get old pretty young if you don't take care of yourself." You can get old pretty young. And that's true if you don't take care of yourself. Don't squander your health. It's a very precious gift from God. Today's small attempt to make you smile. Written by Jim Bush. When we moved cross country, my wife and I decided to drive both our cars. Nathan, our 8-year-old, worriedly asked, "How will we keep from getting separated?" "We'll drive slow so one car can follow the other," I reassured him. "Yeah, but what if we get separated?" he persisted. Jokingly, I said, "Well, then I guess we'll never see each other again." "Okay," he said, "I'm riding with Mom." I love that. And want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. I'd like to hear from my listeners. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll take them to prayer, I promise. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It's filled with great information. There's no charge. It comes out 6 times a year. Please, if you get a chance, if you've been blessed by God, send me some type of financial support from my hospital in Mexico, okay? Make the check to TASH, T-A-S-H, and send it to me, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore you.